Ever wonder if there's more to the movies you love? Do you like to ponder how they got from A to Z? Who chose the plot twists? Why use those characters? Is there a deeper meaning? We're here to explore those questions and maybe learn a bit along the way. VGB Studios proudly presents The Film Philosophers.
Hello and welcome to another exciting episode of The Film Philosophers. I am your host, Spencer Williams, and today I'm with Eddie, my best friend.
Hey, how's it going? Obviously, as you can see, we're kind of switching things up a bit.
And, yeah.
Spencer's coming in with the gravelly voice, apparently.
Yes. And we also have our managing intern manager, Amy.
Yay, it's me. And I don't have a gravelly voice, so I feel good. Yay. Sorry, I was waiting for an Eddie aside about that.
But, no, I'm playing Spencer here. You might not even hear me at all.
I talk on episodes. How dare you?
He does. But that means, I guess, there's going to be more expressions that people can't see over the airwaves.
Oh. Well, we have another exciting episode here today, so I'm going to give it to Eddie to bring in those opening credits.
Tune in each and every week to our...
Tune in to brand new episodes each and every week. Now on all your favorite streaming platforms and over on our website at...
Now I'm getting taken over by everything.
Also, connect with us on the social pages at facebook.com/filmlossophers and on Twitter, Instagram, and Threads at filmlossophy101. Oh, and we have a blue sky at filmlossophers podcast.
That's right. We have a website. Check us out at filmlossophers podcast.
That's probably the most work we've seen Amy do all year so far. So go ahead, Spence. Keep going.
This cannot just turn into an insult episode for everyone in their different positions.
I'm just saying, Amy probably lifted more fingers in this particular episode right now than all together.
Okay, so anyway, yeah, we're on pretty much any like podcast service. So actually, why don't you tell us if you don't see us somewhere? Because I'm actually curious.
That's actually a really good question.
So you don't know where we are currently?
Where are we not?
We're in a few not places. Yeah.
What's a not place?
What's an actual not place?
I just know the list that I say every week. I don't know.
Okay, well, we're those places and other places, too.
Wow, this is going really well.
Tune into your heart's desire on any one of those streaming platforms.
Whichever ones they are are apparently not.
Well, they have to at least know about them because they're listening. It's like an Ouroboros.
No, like, if they know we're there, then why are they worried about where we're not? They've found us already. How are we giving them any inkling as to where not to look if we don't tell them where to look?
See, and this is why we don't really swap that often. Because it's just chaos. But this is fun. I'm having fun, and I hope you all are having fun.
So hold on, real quick.
I don't really want to. I'm holding the throw, so full steam ahead. No. I can yell over all the mics.
No, you can't. Go ahead, try that one more time. Go ahead. Yeah. So just to give a little bit of Amy's snorting over here and Spencer's trying not to contort his face.
Too. I'm trying not to snort.
Look, so this episode is obviously a little different. Spencer is leading the charge today as we are doing a Spencer birthday celebration episode. Yay. Spencer's leading this charge because he picked the movie.
He's leading
the conversation. It's his birthday. He can cry if he wants to.
Yeah.
So, with that, I just want to make sure we understand, because we definitely didn't say what were we reviewing today.
No.
We definitely didn't
We haven't gotten to that part.
I usually say it before I hand it over to you.
I believe our listeners
The children
can
read. Are, yeah,
and
yeah.
They're,
you believe
it's
the
right
children
there.
Are the future?
Yeah. I was waiting for someone to finish that. Okay, so go ahead. I'm going to pass it over. I will play Spencer. Go ahead.
I'm just saying you're doing a bad job of playing Spencer.
I know, because I talk.
Yeah.
Well, I have an agreement over there.
There's an agreement.
Listen, I have a script and my part is written down.
Script?
Yes.
It's always on the top of the notes.
That's why she was able to say it.
Oh, okay. Oh, I was taking a drink. I'm sorry. I'm not used to jumping in like that.
I thought you were looking at your phone for the notes.
I just finished a drink before he preemptively cut it short and threw it in my face like, so this is what we're doing. Go ahead. And I'm like, wait, what? Hold on. Like, there's a protocol. I'm ADHD. I can't function out of structure. There has to be some kind of structure.
Chaos.
There is structure. There's notes.
This coming from the woman whose office is a closet.
Hey, it's a very nice closet. We fit that couch in there. We have more than one person that can sit inside. And now there's a water cooler and a disco ball.
So this wasn't the conversation I had scheduled.
I am free to engage in the conversation.
I just wanted to make sure I just wanted to set the tone for exactly what's going on tonight.
Chaos.
As we record and do this episode. So, Spencer, go ahead. Bring us back on track.
We're in for a fun episode. So that's all I'm saying.
Okay, there you go.
Chaos.
So, I want to talk about YouTuber movies.
I just realized the movie we're reviewing is on the thumbnail. So, they're going to be like, when are they going to say the name of the movie?
I was just saying it was in the title of the episode. This is the title of all of the episodes. It's like the title of the movie it's about.
Okay.
You have to know.
YouTube movies. Or YouTube...
YouTuber made movies.
YouTube content creator movies.
Okay, so especially within the last couple of weeks, we've gotten two really good YouTuber movies, which are Obsession and The Backrooms.
Did Obsession come out 2 weeks ago? I thought it was three.
Within like the last couple. Time's moving forward. It was probably
time
two.
Keeps on slipping into the future.
Yeah.
Wibbly-wombly, timey-wimey.
Yeah. So.
What?
It's wibbly-wombly, timey-wimey.
Space Jam woman. Space Jam.
You want to slam.
Thank you.
I don't want to welcome to that jam. Jeremy Bearme is not for this.
That's not even.
Yeah, I know.
You're just no. Go ahead, Spencer. YouTube content creator movies.
Okay. So
you're right. We have had a lot of really great YouTube content creator movies in the last couple of weeks.
Yes. And
we've seen both of them.
Yeah. And they've both been really good. And probably going to be talking about Backroom soon. Mm-hmm. Back in January, you had Markiplier's Iron Lung. Mm-hmm. And then before that, there was Shelby Oaks by Chris Stuckman, which I didn't see. And I don't really know.
Was that this year?
No, that was last year.
It was last year, right? Because yeah. I know they did a limited release of it at first, and then they opened it up a little bit for like a... They did a... By what I mean as a limited release, I mean like in limited theaters. They did a limited theater run. And then they opened it up to other theaters who then ran it for maybe a week, maybe 2 weeks. It wasn't in theaters very long.
Yeah, I know it was in our local theaters. And I've said,
Yeah, I think Cinemark had it.
Yeah.
So.
So with this, like, it seems that like these movies are doing gangbusters, like as we like with Obsession and The Backrooms. Mm-hmm. And so I just want to think, do we think that like Hollywood might actually start tapping people from YouTube to start actually maybe directing some of these movies?
Well, this is a really good question. So yes and no. Really, a lot of the people that are on YouTube, and we're going to take Curry Barker, who is the director of Obsession, for example. He originally, his whole goal was to, when he came to LA, he's in school, is to make movies. And he used the medium that he had available to him to showcase his art, which is YouTube. And then he was festivals, and then he got picked up after that because of what people saw on YouTube. Do I think every content creator on YouTube deserves to have access to...
What was your question? Captain Bio over here gave us the entire Curry Barker's life story. What was your original question? I'm sorry.
I was asking, do we think Hollywood's going to tap more YouTubers
to
possibly...
Yes, plain and simple. Yes, Amy. My God.
You are not Spencer.
There was literally...
You didn't need any of that.
Honestly, the route that we're going, it's like content creators on YouTube are proving more and more that they have the ability to create full feature length movies because they're doing it essentially on YouTube.
True.
All they're doing is creating like compartmentalized shorts. Curry Barker's a great example, as Amy was probably going to go 20 minutes from now as she continued the story. He does a lot of short films on YouTube. He does more larger pieces, obviously, but most of his stuff is like 5-10 minutes long. And it's great. It's fun. They're fun premises. And there's for every one Curry Barker, there are many other people who are building out. Like if we look at just like the people like Freddie Wong and his crew, especially the rest of the team from the Dungeons and Daddies podcast, you're looking at other content creators like the people who are building over the stuff at Corridor Crew. You're looking at other filmmakers. The sky's the limit. Like quite literally, we have made a pool of content and imagination that anybody can jump on and post for the world to see, whether if it's making Lego creation movies or making, you know, claymation movies, stop motion, whatever it may be. There's a ton of people out there. They'd be dumb not to. In fact, at this rate, I think YouTube is probably going to start considering creating a full-scale production studio, or at least a distribution studio. I'm just
probably
saying,
a distribution. Like, they're like Google adjacent, and Google just does not have like the attention span to do it.
True, but YouTube does. And much like any subsidiary of any company, if it makes money, they're so more than welcome to remove themselves from the equation to let this entity bring them the money.
I don't think they really stray too far from what they have. They did try to like be into like TV shows, like I want to say 10 years ago, mm-hmm. where they were producing their own TV series. And then they got out of that. They did try a few movies, but like, I don't know why they thought they were good. Like, what was it? Logan Paul had that airplane mode movie or something. It was horrendous. I didn't watch it. I saw like clips of it. I'm like, I don't know why anyone thought that was a good idea.
Amy, being our resident researcher, what do you see as far as like the potential for more unknown people to actually get an opportunity, like Curry Barker, like Kane Parsons? Obviously, Markiplier is not unknown. He hasn't been unknown for like the last 15 years.
Very true.
But like people like that, or even Jacksepticeye, whatever. Like he's
doing he's, something with Bloodborne, right?
I believe so. He's a producer, I believe, on there or something. Yeah. So what do you think, Ames?
I think there's lots of potential.
Oh, okay. You know, you really put yourself into that.
Me or him?
Oh, him. Yeah, so anyway, I got into like Kane Parsons like YouTube stuff.
Uh-huh. Like his backroom stuff, or
actually his oldest view stuff. Have you seen that?
No.
Okay, so
Ames, have you seen that?
Nope.
Oh, okay. Just double checking.
So oldest view is just about this like guy who goes.
Oh, out. That's the name of it.
Yeah,
I just thought you meant like oldest view, as in like the oldest viewed.
Oh no, it's literally called the oldest view.
Okay,
and it's about this guy who goes into the woods, finds a hole in the ground, and it leads into like a replica of a mall from Texas in like the middle of nowhere.
Hmm.
And so,
is that supposed to feed into the back room?
No. This is separate.
Ames, have you ever seen a big dark hole? I guess we're just not responding now.
Yeah. Just, I have no okay. words for that, because there is no way to clearly.
I mean, obviously she's not going to say anything else, so I figured just ask her awkward questions.
Yeah, this is the part where really a camera would be so beneficial, for at least on your face and my face, just so that people can like experience Spencer's voice and just watch our faces respond.
Yeah, so goes into this underground mall. It's just like, what the heck is this doing here? Mm-hmm. There's a sudden shake. The way he came in is just suddenly gone. And now it's about him trying to get out while he finds out that there's something like hanging around down there.
It sounds like
it's very similar esque to the Backrooms, okay. But it doesn't have like a lot of the backroom like properties. Like it's like the office thing, like that's not okay. there and all that jazz. No, there's no just falling through walls or anything.
There's no like a sun coast.
There's no what?
There's no sun coast.
Sun coast?
It was a store in old malls.
Oh, there might be. I don't know. A movie theater.
Amy's right. Trying to pull a deep pull while also, yeah.
Okay. I never heard of sun coast.
Really?
Mm.
We used to have one in Sunrise.
I didn't really go out to that one.
Dang. Okay, you're cooler than
wow. me. It was out in Sunrise. That's fun.
Right? I just.
Yeah, the distance.
Yeah, Ames.
Okay.
The distance.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
But Kane Parsons. The oldest view was where you kind of started with him?
Yes, yeah. So,
wait, you started watching his videos with that one, or you had seen that after you'd seen the back
rooms? Well, I'd seen like a few of the back rooms one, but I wasn't super following the back rooms. But like the oldest view was like three videos. It was, I think, roughly 50 minutes altogether. But it's a good watch if you want to check it out. But yeah, but I definitely think that there is a lot of talented people on YouTube. And I definitely think that, like, you know, it does make sense to like just tap a few people.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, once they prove themselves, just tap a few more.
Yeah. Because like, I think the pool is very vast and wide for creators who are out there who are just chomping at the bit for a chance just to be seen. You know, I think there's a lot to be said about the, because a lot of people can speak negatively towards like what YouTube does or how its algorithm works or even how it's paying its content creators.
Yeah.
But I think the one positive thing that has always been a common truth for all these years is that it has been the one greatest, I guess, inside look into many creators across the world and seeing what kind of stuff they build out and they can create. I mean, YouTube quite literally gave birth to the whole Bieber fandom. Like,
oh, yeah, I keep forgetting
because that's where he started. You know, people, yeah, it's just YouTube is kind of the birthplace for a lot of unknown talent.
Right. All right. Well, that ends that conversation.
Wow. There you go.
You just cut it off once you feel like it's right? dead.
It's like, okay. Sounds good.
All right. So now let's go into our movie, which you might not know what the movie is. It's Clue from 1985.
Hey. We're descending into chaos.
No, we're already there.
Nah. All right. So with that, Eddie, could you read our synopsis for the movie? If that is a thing you're able to do.
I mean, I can definitely try. Six guests are anonymously invited to a strange mansion for dinner. But after their host is killed, they must cooperate with the staff to identify the murderer as the bodies pile up.
Ooh. Directed by John. I'm so sorry.
Sorry, I couldn't help it.
I couldn't tell if that was like derisive or if that was being genuine. Like, dang.
Okay, directed by Jonathan Lynn, the film stars Aline Brennan, Tim Curry, Madeline Kahn, Christopher Lloyd. Woo! Michael McKean, Martin Mull, and Leslie Ann Warren.
I think that's Eileen Brennan.
Okay, sure.
Yeah. Get it right, new me.
Listen, you know I have a big problem with the English language.
You don't like it. We know.
Yeah, yeah. That almost became the conversation topic, by the way. Okay, so.
That sounds about right.
Madame Kahn's short Flames on the Side of My Face monologue about her hatred for Yvette, the French maid, was ad-libbed, which is one of my favorite facts about that movie. About the movie is just that for me is one of my favorite lines from the movie. Mm-hmm. And it's just so sad that some people at the time couldn't see it because it wasn't part of the ending they got.
Oh, wow. I didn't know that.
Yeah. Okay. In an example.
Oh, that's right. Because it was part of the other, like one of the alternate endings. That's right.
Yeah. In an example of attention to detail, the secret passages in this movie lead to the same rooms that they do in the board game. The kitchen leads to the study, and the conservatory leads to the lounge. Hey. And we love attention to details, especially when you are adapting from a board game.
Yes, we do.
According to an interview with writer-director Jonathan Lynn, after screening on the 25th anniversary of the film's release, Carrie Fisher was originally casted as Miss Scarlet until she ended up in rehab for drug addiction for 4 days before filming had started. Fisher called Lynn and agreed to work furlough, which received approval of her clinicians and the producers, but was vetoed by the production's insurance company, forcing Lynn to dismiss her from the project. Leslie Ann Warren was cast as a last-minute replacement.
Could you imagine Carrie Fisher in the role of Leslie Ann Warren's character as Miss Scarlet? Like, that would have been super weird. It would have been interesting. It would have been fantastic, but it definitely would have, I think it would have changed the way I would have seen the movie, I think, honestly.
Yeah.
So, because I don't know, like, Carrie Fisher's a much bigger, I guess, just personality, and she just commands when she's on screen. Not that she has to do much, but her legacy alone just creates that within her. So every time she would have been on screen, I think I would have just focused on everything she would have done.
I know, especially since this is post-Star Wars. So, yeah. Like, I feel like she would have, like, soaked up a lot of the oxygen without, like, meaning to, you know?
Yeah, without a doubt.
Okay, so let's get into this. So I want you guys to tell me, what do you remember from your, like, first viewing of this film? Like, what were some of your impressions, emotions? Like, what did you think of this movie the first time I've seen it? Amy?
The very first time I saw it, I remember I was probably right out of high school.
Right out of high school?
Yeah.
So it's a fairly recent in comparison.
Oh, thank you. Thank you for remarking upon my youth. I appreciate it.
I just mean in comparison to, like, unless you like saw it when you were younger.
No,
like,
we're not going to go through the whole I had a childhood that was sheltered and I wasn't allowed near the TV.
Because
that's it.
I'm just saying. I mean, you're the
Kumite,
one.
Kumite, man. Kumite.
You're the one who said that you had gone to like to the library to rent
and this
videos.
Was, and
I assume this was one of those ones you could get.
Yeah, I rented it from the library, but it was after like high school because this was also one of those ones where you could tell by the cover.
So you weren't completely like Matilda where you went to the library on your own.
Oh, I got a lot of books and correct. I had to take my brother everywhere. Hey, Jeremy. Love you, bud. Now you're listening. So really, I had seen it after high school. I rented it from the library. I watched it on my little TV and I was completely aghast because I was in my Madeline Kahn phase. I love her to death. We already know this.
You have a Madeline Kahn phase?
Oh, yes. love her to death. I'm trying not to just go ham in that regards, but I remember watching it and being like, this is so ridiculous and I love it. And I didn't realize until, you know, because for the home movie release that there's the multiple endings.
Mm-hmm.
The first ending I saw, which was the flames one, I was like, oh, that's... And then it's like, but this is what could have happened. I'm like, what? Wait, what? So I was delighted. It was zany. It really matched things that I was excited for. And I was like, I wonder if they made another one. You don't want to know what the other one was. You don't. It wasn't this. It wasn't
Wait,
this.
What? Yeah. What are we talking about?
Vaguely remember coming across something.
So there's interactive Clue VHS.
I have that.
So my dumb brain thought that was like an extension of the movie. It wasn't.
Hold on. You thought the board game, the video board game, was an extension of the movie?
Yeah.
Because it was a VHS.
Yeah. So my brain went, they're not connected.
Yeah.
They're not connected. Eddie, what about you on your first?
I'm still trying to understand how one would think that a board game holds the sequel to a major motion picture.
Yeah, I feel like the cards would give it away.
Yeah.
So,
or the fact that it's from Milton Bradley on the sides.
So.
Or the fact that everybody that was in the movie was not from the original film.
When you go to the library sometimes, do you remember when you would go in and they would put the documentaries
next to other things?
Thanks. I did not need that one. But they would put the documentaries or everything. Everything was always like cataloged
Clue's
together.
Not a documentary? If it was, that'd be a really weird documentary.
The VHS for Clue for the game.
Like Tim Curry had some wild parties.
Wait, hold on. Sorry,
it was
so sorry.
Messed up.
They put the VHS, just the VHS?
Mm-hmm.
And now, Spencer, your ghetto library has now been usurped by whatever library was going to.
Mm-hmm. What the heck are you talking about?
Yeah. So basically,
I couldn't afford to go to Sunrise Mall.
Basically, my library had just the VHS.
My mom said we had Sunrise Mall at home. She'd open up all the doors. You just go by and buy something from it. We just watched your chonies here. Buy these chonies. Take them to your room and fold them.
Oh, my Lanta. Spencer, I didn't know you were so just. Really excitable over there today. So yeah, they literally just put the VHS for the board game without the pieces next to the Clue VHS.
All right,
I feel like that still
would have that it was. It's a Clue 2.
Okay,
Spencer, it's a Clue 2.
Okay, well,
Electric Boogaloo.
Pretty much.
Clearly, someone did not know what the heck that was,
and they just
nor apparently were they the person aware enough to not. Ask questions when they saw it at the library.
If it's just in the case, it just says Clue all over the case. It doesn't really tell you what's going on.
Then you ask.
It's the library.
Questions.
No. They separated from the board game box.
Yeah.
This woman still had to go up to the front to check it out, didn't she?
It was self-checkout.
No, they took it out. And it's in a box. They took something out of a box and then put it separately. That's on them.
You're defending the woman who took the board game video home and watched it as the sequel. So I'm just saying, Just so you know where you're standing.
I had the box.
It's not her fault.
It's not.
I think after the first 3 minutes when it says, please turn off before next phase.
Yeah, okay, that part, yes.
That part was the part
thank
where
you.
It was
okay, thank you. Thank you. I'm sorry. It just has so many.
Hold on.
Now it's more than just multiple endings. Now it's like multiple middles and multiple beginnings.
Okay, but the thing is that before you Spencer, even played the tape, make this you can't know that.
Then you don't watch the whole thing. Then you realize what a mistake it was.
I only figured that out when they asked me to stop before you could figure out who the murderer was. Listen,
I'm just saying, there's a lot of logic that goes into this that just does not compute.
Listen, I believe the best in things.
I believe the children are our future, but this does not work.
You're supposed to teach them well and let them lead the way. I get it.
Well, I'm not going to let you lead them. You're going to give them part twos from boxes of games.
Listen, I learned, okay?
Who's the murderer?
She's like, you're supposed to tell me. What am I guessing for?
This is why I just watched a lot of PBS.
They weren't secretly board games.
She's like, exactly. So Mousetrap Part 2 wasn't a real movie?
Mouse Hunt?
Oh, yeah, that's the sequel to Mouse.
There you go.
Mouse Hunt.
Not going to lie. Sidebar, that actually somebody did think that that was my friend my that thought Mouse Hunt was a so mousetrap.
I'm so sorry. We have to move on, Eddie.
I forgot what the question was. What was the
first
question?
Impressions on initial viewing back in the day.
Okay. So, unlike Mr. Magoo at the library.
I like Mr. Magoo. He was very cute with his bald head and his little bowler hat and his big nose. He even wore a jacket.
Wait a minute. Wasn't there a whole thing where some society complained about him being some sort of...
racist?
What?
No, that's what not the word I was about to say.
That's not even anywhere where I thought he was going with that. But I mean, you're watching Clue 2 Electric Boogaloo, so I'm pretty sure somebody in there was not in their right mind.
No, thanks. I thought there was, oh, gosh. Okay, whatever. It's a fine.
It's a fine. There you go.
It's a fine.
It's a fine.
Okay, well, I don't have as colorful of a story as Amy. The first time I saw it was quite literally in that auspicious place where we all see most of our, you know, random movies on a Saturday afternoon, Fox Saturday afternoon movies. Now, mind you, I do have to admit, I did not know there was multiple endings until I saw it on DVD, probably right after high school.
Oh, so they just picked an ending for the...
Yeah, they just played one ending. It was edited for time, remember?
Yeah, but you take something else out. Not the end of the movie. I've never assumed that edited for time means we're chopping off an end.
The one that I saw only had the first ending. So that's all I saw. That's all I remember. So I remember.
Oh, there's going to be spoilers, guys. I don't know if we said that.
Oh, yeah. Spoilers. Hit the button.
So the one that I saw only had the first ending, which had, who was it?
Scarlet.
No, that was the second one, wasn't it?
I thought it was the first one.
Was it?
It was the first one.
Miss Peacock was the second.
Was the second.
That's right.
And then third was everybody.
Yeah, and then, no, that's the fourth.
No.
No, there's only three.
There's only three?
Because technically the fourth one, even though they filmed it, was never released.
Well, the only one I saw was Miss Scarlet. So I remember seeing that one, and that's all I recall. And when I was older, when I got out of high school, I don't know if I rented it or someone had it or it was on TV or whatever. Someone put it on, like an actual copy, not just like from the, you know, whatever's on cable. And I saw it and I'm like, oh yeah, that's that movie. And then it was like, or it could be this ending. I'm like, wait, what? And I remember watching it. I'm like, oh, this is cool. Or like, but really it was this. And I'm like, this is awesome. And I kind of became like a pseudo fan, if you will, from that point forward. Like, I actually enjoy the movie. I cannot for the life of me stand the board game. I'm going to be completely honest. I think the board game is absolute garbage just because it's so...
I just wanted it to be dramatic. It was also created
sweetheart, you've been dramatic all episode. Don't worry.
Thanks,
so anyway.
I was going to give you Clue background history, but that's fine.
What background history?
About the board game.
We're not even there. What again, Bio Woman, just hold on. So anyway, again, I don't have like a strong affinity to play it. I don't think there's really in any iteration, and even I knew the second Clue variation had a VHS tape, but even the second one I didn't like. Like, it just wasn't that fun to me. I don't know. It always felt like it took way too long for me. Hmm. But, you know, I mean, maybe other people had better experiences with it.
I only played it once, and I didn't get to finish because...
It took too long, probably. That's honestly what it probably was. Probably just took way too dang long. And now I'm older and I play a card game that takes 3 hours.
Or longer.
True. So, yeah, I had no, now in hindsight, ADHD, but I had no attention span when I was younger. And I didn't just, if I wasn't interested, I just didn't really stick with it. And that was something that just didn't hold my interest. The movie, however, it just absolutely holds my interest. Even today, even with recent viewing. So what about you, Spence?
Okay, so I actually don't...
It's like the year was 1987.
No, I have no idea when I first saw this movie.
Uh-huh.
Because I remember I watched it at your place once, and that was not my first viewing because I'm like, I love this movie. So I'm guessing this is one of those ones where I rented it from Netflix and got the DVD at some point in like the late 2000s. Because the only thing I can remember is I very distinctly remember the endings because I was confused by them. And because I was like, what do you mean? Well, it could have been this. Like, what does that mean? Like, did that not happen? And then it all just happens again. But, you know, once you know what's really going on, I'm like, oh, this is really cool and fantastic.
Very true.
Okay. So at this point in time, we are now executing a commercial break. Begin commercial break.
Execute.
We are now exiting the commercial break.
Yeah, Amy almost ruined it for all of us, but it's okay.
All right, so let's talk about the cast of this movie.
Let's talk about the cast.
There is a lot of people in this movie. Well, there's only like 8.
I was going to say, there's only like really.
But there's like 8 people, but there's a lot.
But there's like a lot of notable people. Like, Tim Curry, the illustrious Tim Curry, who doesn't like Tim Curry? He comes in with like just at first very calm, like, and like composed butler energy into the movie.
Yeah.
And then just really brings the chaos in like the last act.
So I'm going to say something and it's going to sound like a downer at first, but I plan to end it in a very positive way.
Okay.
It is.
Everyone sharpen their picks for
it. It is extremely unfortunate to see how he is like now.
Oh, yeah.
Like, because I recall seeing him in like Home Alone 2. And I recall seeing him in like in Muppet Treasure Island. And I remember seeing him in all these and hearing his voice echoed throughout my entire childhood, every part of him. And then when I got to middle school, watching Rocky Horror Picture Show for the first time and like, this is Tim Curry. And even more so, like, this is kind of weird, but even before I saw Rocky Horror Picture Show when I was in elementary school, when I saw him in that performance, there's always been such a brightness and a vibrancy to his performances. And again, as much as it pains me to see where he's at, and obviously it's just due to the way life is and you know, people living that life to the fullest. He's currently wheelchair bound. And I believe he may have had a stroke of some sorts. But luckily, the great thing is that hasn't really stopped him from doing some of the wonderful things that he has done in this current, you know, decade, or at least in the last 10 years. We had an amazing performance from him as in Over the Garden Wall as Auntie Whispers. Mm-hmm. He's done voice acting roles as well during the course of that time. He's still very much a vibrant soul, and seeing his performance in that movie only echoes how much people had to look forward to, because that you said that movie was done in 85.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Like, if there was any indication at that point in time for people to understand that you need to watch this man, this man is going to bring so much joy to the masses, not just with his performances, but with his vocal abilities, just his own smile, like his smile alone. I remember the first time I saw him in Home Alone 2.
That light up smile.
His smile always reminded me for some reason of Humpty Dumpty. And I don't know why, but like, I'm like, Tim Curry should play Humpty Dumpty at some point in time. I remember thinking that as a kid. The fact is, there is just still so much within him that I'm still excited to see. And at that point in time in his life, I know that that had to have been one of the breakout roles of a lifetime for so many others to see what this man was going to do for his future. Like, that was an indication from that film that sky was the limit for this man.
Mm-hmm. Sky's the limit.
Yeah.
Sky is the limit.
Yeah. I think even right now, one of the most recent, so he did have a stroke in 2012. While he was receiving a massage, and he actually had to have brain surgery.
While he was having a massage?
Mm-hmm.
Like
he was getting a massage, and he had a massive stroke.
Like, so, I don't know if you have details over there, but like, so what happened? Like, he was just like, they were giving him a rub down, yeah. and then he just like had a stroke on the table, and did they not?
Well, they got him to the hospital, but yeah, that's literally, there's not a lot of additional information on that, which it was.
I never knew what the inciting incident was.
Yeah, in the midst of receiving a massage, and he required brain surgery, and he's been using a wheelchair ever since. However, I think one of the more recent iterations of Tim Curry that I have been able to hear as of late is as Chancellor Palpatine and Darth Sidious in Star Wars, The Clone Wars, yeah. Which was actually happening because he was 2012 to 2014, and he came in secondhand as the Chancellor, and he was recording that.
Yeah.
So I fully agree. Like, right now, seeing him kind of breaks your heart because he's a childhood hero. Like, even when he was the weird Smaug in Fern Gully, like, I was like, but yeah, there's something about the physicality of this man watching his discography, which he's a prolific singer, but his filmography, and it's something that you almost kind of, you wish you weren't seeing him now, but it doesn't make what he did back then any less profound or fantastic. Like, there's literally how many millennials don't know Nigel Thornberry at this point?
Like,
come on. I tend to wonder, there's going to be little kids that their parents are like, here, just watch this. Enjoy some Nigel Thornberry. It'll be okay. And yeah, this performance in Clue is utterly, it's just brilliant, period. Hard stop. There's nothing. Apparently, he also had to go to the hospital. He was taken to the hospital for high blood pressure on the day that they filmed the running around sequences for the end.
Oh, I mean, that kind of makes sense. He's like all over the place.
Yeah, somebody had, they were doing an interview with him, and they brought the note, because it's the anniversary for Clue, to him. And they're like, hey, this note says that you went to the hospital for high blood pressure. Like, and he's like, yeah, it was the day that they filmed me running around for the four endings. And the person's like, four endings? And he's like, yeah, there was another one, but they thought it was a little too much and too cliched, so they cut that one out. But everything else, and I was like, yeah, that makes sense. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. He brought such a fantastic energy to the last bit of this movie that I'm not surprised in the slightest that he had to go to the hospital for that. That's just shows commitment right there.
Yeah. It's as Wadsworth the butler, he's brilliant. He's utterly brilliant.
Yeah.
Okay. I must also highlight my goat. It's Christopher Lloyd.
What? Christopher Lloyd?
Yes.
From Over the Garden Wall?
Yeah, we'll go with that one. Yeah. He is pretty much anytime I see him pop up on something.
Not from Over the Garden Wall. He's from Dennis the Menace. Get it right.
That's right.
Yeah, he's the bad guy in Dennis the Menace.
He's literally the only reason I like that movie.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh. Okay.
Because Dennis actually made me very angry as a child.
That's like, the point.
It's
literally the point. He's a brat. He's a.
Why would they make rage bait movie for children?
Because children are demons.
Isn't he also in Search for Spock?
Yeah, he's a Klingon.
Yeah, he's a Klingon.
Yeah.
Oh, that's where he's from.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's where he's from, a Klingon.
I mean, he could also be, you know, Eddie's nightmare fuel from being a child. As from
Who Framed Roger Rabbit. Yeah.
Yeah. See, he's
or a- from actually, no, what he's known for is from One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so I guess compared to most of these other performances, I would say this one's probably him at his tamest, I would say, because this one's more of a, I have good one-liners and I'm also a bit of a pervert. He's got going on. Wow. This movie. That's what he is. That's what Professor Plum is.
In this instant,
yes. Very much yes. So we're like, mm-mm. Sir, no, please don't do that. You're too distinguished for this.
I know. I was like, no, not my childhood. but yeah, still a joy to see him pretty much in anything. Does anyone else have an actor they would like to highlight?
Really? Is that actually a question, or are you just waiting for Amy to talk?
Letting someone?
You know where this woman is going with.
Dear gentle listeners, Spencer also waved his hand towards Eddie before waving it towards me, which meant he was giving Eddie a chance to talk. But
yeah, that was never really in.
It was never going to happen.
That was not going to happen.
Yeah. It was never going to happen. Of course, I'm going to give mad props and shout outs to Madeline Kahn because I love her to the death. Her role in this is hilarious because originally Mrs. White in the board game was actually a maid, and she is so not a maid. It is great. Not only the visual gags in this, but the way she plays it, and not including her improv flames on the side of my face monologue. She's just fun to watch. Mm-hmm. Even with a run. And then next up, I really want to give, give props to, I'm being polite. You told me not to yammer on for 20 minutes about how much I love Madeline Kahn. Leave it alone.
Then pass it over and let someone else talk.
Did you want to talk about Leslie Ann Warren as Miss Scarlet?
Go ahead, Ames.
Thank
you. Do whatever you want to do.
Leslie Ann Warren was just enough like scandalous girl with like sheer confidence of like, I know I'm in trouble. Like, I'm here. Let's figure this thing out and be ridiculous. And I love her. There we go. Eddie,
would you like to say anything about Madeline Kahn or Leslie?
She was okay. I mean, she was fine.
Yeah.
That's rude.
You want to talk about Martin Mull?
Do you want to talk about Martin Mull?
No, I'm asking you.
I'm asking you because you usually keep going on with three more options.
I'll talk about Martin Mull. Martin Mull, Principal Kraft.
Exactly.
He's not my goat, but I do enjoy seeing him pop up in places.
There you go.
So do you have anybody you want to talk about?
Honestly, no. Like, I think Christopher Lloyd and Tim Curry were like my standouts, to be completely honest. I mean, Michael McKean, he played Squiggy on Laverne and Shirley. Had a great career there. I mean, he's just wonderful. Seeing him in this role, and in fact, like the nature of his role being so unique in being the only gay character in the entire thing, up until, unless you watch the third ending, then it's like, oh, never mind. So I thought he was really great. I think honestly the chemistry between all the cast performers was really good. I think every one of them worked well with each other, and nobody was so high profile amongst the group of them that it took away from all of them shining.
Yeah.
Like, I think, honestly, if anybody would have, it would have been Madeline Kahn. But Madeline Kahn was probably the most subdued mm-hmm. out of all of them in the entire group. And it made her even funnier, especially when you get to that scene where she does the, you know, flames on the side of her face monologue. Mm-hmm. It's such a great, like, burst of character in that moment. But I think the spread for all of them was fairly even for each one of them to have an opportunity to shine.
Mm-hmm. So. Agreed.
Okay, so let's briefly go over the story. So if you've played Clue, it's that, basically. The story starts off with, like, everyone being invited to a mansion. Very quickly, someone is invited and is murdered. That's Mr. Body, played by Lee Ving.
Eddie brought that up.
I did.
Yeah. I mean, I'll be honest. I thought it was a joke name until I realized
it's his name.
Yeah. No, that's legit.
I first saw that.
You're like, oh, that's fun. And you're the person that's murdered. Hey, that happened too.
Yeah. So, you know, everyone starts pointing fingers at each other. More people start just showing up because they were secretly invited by whoever is setting this up. And more murders pop off. And it ends with basically three different endings for the movie. I think everyone has like their favorite, I think is probably ending C. Does anyone have like a different one besides the one where they all did it?
You mean like a favorite?
Yeah.
Oh, I really did like the second one because Miss Peacock seemed like such a random suspect. Mm. And it just made for a little bit more fun for me as, you know, old people don't get away with murder. So it just, it worked out funny that way. But I think the second one really does it for me.
Okay. Okay.
I'm still a fan of the third one. And it's not just the monologue.
The monologue. Let's be honest.
I feel like it is.
Yeah. There's really no other answer to
listen. Ending A and ending B are basically like the women did it. Ending C is like, listen, everybody did it. We're all in trouble now, bro.
Now,
I love that.
Let me ask you guys a question. Because so let's review the endings. Ending one had Miss Scarlet.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Excuse me. Ending two had Mrs. Peacock.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Ending three had all of them except for
Mr. Green.
Mr. Green. As ultimately the killers.
Right. Mm-hmm.
If you guys could create a fourth ending, who would you want the killer to be? And in one, what bombastic way would you guys want that killer to be revealed?
Let's be honest. I want to go for the one that they threw out, which was.
We actually know?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
The butler did it.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So in that same interview where the woman brought the paper and was like, it shows.
I mean, technically the butler did do it in the.
But he had committed all of them.
He did all the murders.
Okay. But that was the original one. And Tim Curry himself said the reason they scrapped it was because it seemed a little like too cliched and on the nose.
Mm. It's Clue.
But that's the thing.
Like quite literally.
That's the thing that if that had been the fourth one and you got all of the other ones and then that last one was him, you're like, this feels fitting. Like it's all, you're like, butler did.
I think though, knowing everything in hindsight, that's what makes it more appropriate, I guess, for it to have been made. Mm-hmm. I think at the time, I don't know if he was known enough to carry that much like star power. So maybe that could also have been like a big reason behind.
Yeah, I think that's probably what the real like thing happened at the time. Mm-hmm. Just because we don't have all that Tim Curry-ness, you know.
Yeah.
And so you're coming in, you're trying to do a serious movie and like probably not seen as we see it now, which is still a great movie, but like mm-hmm. we probably all see it like a bit more jokey than maybe they did at the time.
Yeah.
Mm. So I could see why they would probably scrap that, and I think they should put it back in.
Yeah. I mean, now after the fact.
If they have it. Yeah, that's the thing. If that fourth ending of the butler was not an option, I think it would be really fun.
Hold on. Let Spencer give. Sorry. Oh my gosh. Sorry, she's over Spencer. Here trying to
You're
run
trying
the gambit.
Trying to do multiple endings?
Again.
I mean, there are multiple endings.
We've switched host one and host two, and you're still doing this to us.
Hey, consistency.
My gosh.
Consistency.
No, not consistency.
Yes, respect and consistency.
Disrespect. Go ahead, Spencer.
Clue two.
Yeah, I think Miss White would be interesting for me, mostly because I want to steal it from Amy. And
well, joke's on you. That wasn't the ending I was picking.
Wait, Miss White is
Madeline Kahn.
Yeah,
but that wasn't the one I was picking. Do you want to know who I was picking, Spencer?
No, we don't want to know.
No.
I don't.
Yeah, you do.
No, we don't.
Go ahead, Eddie.
My God,
you have one.
So tech. What are you doing?
She's tilting out of view.
Right.
I'm drinking water, so no one has that weird sound of someone drinking water in their ear on the microphone. It's gross. Okay.
So, honestly, and this is going to be really bad, and I really don't care, but I'm like, I think the cop should have been the person who did it. Because, so there's a couple things here. Like, I was looking into it, and this movie takes place in what, 1953?
Four.
1954, sorry. What was that cop doing in that area?
New England.
Yeah, but so I looked it up.
It's the North.
No, I looked it up. Even in the North, black cops at that time only surveilled like mostly black areas. If there was a cop outside of there that was black, typically is because they were doing vengeance. And so,
you wanted him to just.
I wanted this to turn into like a vengeance thing. Like, you guys are all white and you don't deserve this kind of happiness. Look at all this frivolity. Bang, 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 bang. End scene. And walked off like Shaft. There you go.
In his rain.
Shaft.
In his rain cover cap.
Heck yeah.
In his rain slicker.
Heck yeah. Tell me I'm wrong, Spencer.
I don't really know how to process that.
I was like, I was thinking about it when we were, so we watched it recently.
Together.
And together. And I was watching it this time around and it never, I don't see how, obviously more things are prevalent now than the last time I saw it, but like it didn't dawn on me the last time I saw it. I'm like, why is this cop out here? Like, this is a very unique area and I'm pretty sure it's predominantly white. And I'm pretty sure if he were to go up to any other house at this late at night, it probably wouldn't bode well for him unless he had a plan. That's where I think, yeah, I think it was the cop.
Yeah. Yeah, it makes a lot of sense.
Thank you.
Same. It's kind of weird that, like, even though he was a cop, like, I still feel like he'd be like, I'm not.
Yeah, I'm like, I'm not obtuse to what the world is like. You can't, Clue is great, Tim Curry is wonderful, but this is 1954.
Yeah. Mm-mm, that's not going to fly.
I'm just saying. Got a Django Unchained, this bad boy.
Okay. So, moving on, let's talk about any highlights or issues people have with this movie.
The cop. I honestly just, and just as an aside, the funniest thing ever in this entire movie, one of the funniest like random moments is when the singing messenger gets blown away. Aww. Just like, like what?
Da-da-da-da-da.
Boom.
It's,
and you're
so
just like
fast.
Yeah, and it's like boom and the door closes and you're like, well, that happened. And it's like, And you're not sure if like this was somebody that was important or they just got in the way. And it's like, what just happened? Like wrong day to be a, you know, singing telegram. So I don't even know what the message was. Was there even a message?
No.
Well, she got blown away for no message.
Yeah, basically.
Yeah.
She got paid to tap dance and die.
Yeah. Which
cop had no time for nobody.
She's my favorite death in this movie because it is true. So fast and so just out of nowhere. Of like singing the killer barely having any time to really fully recognize, oh, I hate this person, and then just kills them. And then
No. The one thing is, because I'm in the same boat, I love this kill, and it's the funniest thing in the entire movie, but I feel like it's the most honest kill if we really want to think about it, because this was not based out of like a predetermined action. Whoever the killer was, had already determined who they were going to kill and how they were going to try to do it in what particular way. Like there was options. This person, this killer just hated who was at the door. It was like, heck no. Boom. Close the door. Like they, this is Spartaned this pretty much. Like kick the door open, blow them away, close the door. That was the most visceral reaction to something that you just don't like. And I loved it. Truly.
Amy.
So for me, I think it's the overall comedy of this movie. There's a lot of really subtle, like ridiculous dumb jokes. There's visual gags that shouldn't make any sense, but they make sense and they're really bad and funny. The makeout scene. sequence with the dead Mr. Body, and Miss Scarlett's just like moving his arm up and down, up and down, up and down. The hat issue that Mrs. Peacock has, where it's just constantly falling off her face the more and more she gets frazzled. Everything there's so many visual cues and there's so many subtle moments. I love the reveal of Madeline Kahn as Mrs. White. She's wearing all black and she takes it off and the inside of her jacket is white and it's still a black dress. And I was like, dang, okay. Somebody's playing with all the jokes. Everything has detail that it is minute. It's small, but it's supposed to, it's very smart. And that even the singing telegram is just this weird, dumb aside of like, what would be the most inconvenient thing that someone comes in, like you're murdering people. And it's just like, no, we don't have time for this.
But yeah, Spencer, do you have any highlights or issues?
So this one,
you better. This is his movie.
Have issues? Why would you pick something if you had issues?
Have highlights.
Oh. You said highlights or issues.
Oh.
Did you forget what you said like a few seconds ago?
No, I said but.
Okay. Okay. So for me, this is. It sounds like a cop-out, but it's not.
It is a cop-out.
Shut up. Okay, it's like just random quotes from this movie. Because people have some really fantastic one-lines. Like, a lot... I'm a big fan of Mrs. White. And, like, her, like, describing men as how they should be soft, clean, and disposable. It's just, like, I like a lot of people's individual lines because they're, like, a combination of, like, so insane... that they're very funny in like context,
mm-hmm.
like especially like, you know, Colonel Mustard going to check. It's like, just checking, still two corpses, everything's fine. But like, let's keep on moving. I love like the quotability of this movie.
Mm-hmm.
And that is what my highlight is.
Mm.
And I don't really have any issues with it. Okay. So I have a round table question for everyone.
All right.
All right. So...
it's not written down, so I have no idea what the heck this is.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. It's just see your pants.
Okay.
All that jazz.
This is getting serious.
Okay, so we have the current cast of the movie.
Uh-huh.
If you could replace one person with someone else from any point in time.
Oh. Any person within that current cast.
Yeah, within the current okay. cast.
Because you know they are remaking it.
Yeah.
I saw that, and it seems Ryan like it's Reynolds in limbo.
It's been in limbo for a while.
So I'm going to hope that it just doesn't happen and just ignore that.
I mean, it keeps failing. So.
So you're asking if there was somebody we could replace.
Yeah.
Who would we replace in the cast?
Yeah,
from
yeah.
anybody clear across time?
Doo-doo.
Okay, okay. Doo-doo. Well, I would probably have to say that I would have to replace Colonel Mustard.
You were thinking the same thing I was. Sorry, I was Martin.
I was also thinking.
Well, no, not that he's a bad guy. I have a better idea. I have a better person that could be more suited for that role in terms of comedy.
Okay.
Robin Williams.
Oh.
Robin Williams in the role of Colonel Mustard.
And then
it'll come cyclical when he comes back from Jumanji and he's like, I got it. Colonel Mustard and the one with the whatever.
Okay.
Aww.
That would actually be amazing because then it would put Robin Williams in like Kingpin for board game movies.
Yeah, pretty much. But yeah, that would be my choice. Like I definitely would have loved to have seen Robin Williams in this film be his ultimate Robin Williams. So what about you, Ames? While she looks up good comedic actors
no,
to see.
No, actually, do you want to know what I looked, to be honest? So there's nothing against Martin Mull. I think the points that he had one-liners where there's the line when some Mr. Green's like, I was about to expose you. And Wadsworth says, I was going to expose myself. And he goes, please, there are ladies present. I'm like, I just need more, like a little bit more. So I literally, no joke, I just looked up mustachioed male actors.
Oh, my God. Really, Ames?
And the first options were Sam Elliott and Burt Reynolds. And I was like, no, no, no. And then Groucho Marx came up and I was like, that's too dastardly. Followed by Wilford Brimley. So
what? What is happening here?
I think Colonel Mustard either needed to be super straight laced. Or super the opposite, the Robin Williams.
Yeah.
So is there someone,
but the thing
Nick
is like
Offerman akin that could have been a Colonel Mustard at that time?
I mean, you could have just said Nick Offerman.
Okay, Nick Offerman.
Like, seriously.
Yeah, I was like, why didn't you bring up Nick Offerman?
I thought it was like period specific, so I had to find something somebody.
No, I specifically said anyone.
Okay, then Nick Offerman.
Because I was originally gonna say period specific, and then I was like, oh no, that's too hard for even me because I
Sam Elliott would have been great. But I think a grump, and I say it affectionately, the grump that Nick Offerman has played so consistently would be so fun as a very, very straight-laced Colonel Mustard, which would make everything else so much more absurd. Like, there's, in the whole shtick of it, there's not a air quote, straight man that's playing against everybody. Everybody's a little bit zany and kooky. And I think having someone so hard-edged would be just so ridiculous. But that's me.
I mean, Nick Offerman is not so... I mean, he's been in several comedic movies.
Yes,
I mean,
and
he's got
he's
a whole
capable. I just think it would be fun.
A second thought as well, just because I think it would be fun, is the actor who played the cop to have been replaced by Richard Pryor.
Oh, that's a good choice. That's a really good one.
Because then you would have had all the most absurd zaniness of Richard Pryor being locked in a room and wondering what's going on. And then he goes in and sees that quote unquote party that's happening in the room. Knowing Richard Pryor, he probably would have tried to go in there. Like, just he would have improvised and had a great time. And I just feel like that would have been like
the icing on
the cake. So,
Spencer, do you have somebody that you want to replace it? Who is a Colonel Mustard too?
Well, now that you said Richard Pryor with the cop, that instantly made me think like, you know who would be a good replacement for the cop?
Who?
Chris Tucker.
Chris Tucker.
Lord.
It would be so crazy.
Oh, my Lord.
Uh-huh.
I could see him freaking out about this. Yeah, he's like, I just saw my boss. And you wouldn't believe it. I'm up in this.
Yeah, he would do really well at just like being hyped up about like it.
No. Spencer, you know who needed to play the cop?
Mm.
Reginald Vell Johnson.
Oh yeah, is that what?
Yes. And then we could have had the ultimate Reginald Vell Johnson universe.
That means he's an immortal cop.
Exactly. Then we need to find a way to insert him into like some kind of vampiric movie. So that way we know why he has stood the test of time. That is the ultimate theory and how we make it work. That's just, yeah, that's just
it. I mean, yeah.
Yeah.
Now we're just 6 degrees of him.
Yeah, yeah.
6 degrees move of Reginald Vell Johnson.
Move over Kevin Bacon.
Yep.
Yeah, he's going to be a hard man to eject. All right, so wrapping up this, I guess it's kind of a train wreck of a review, but it's been fun.
Yeah.
It has been fun.
We need to talk about if this movie passes or fails and what our Monocle score is going to be. Let's go with Eddie.
So the film passes for me, obviously. This is a time-tested film that is absolutely, you know, wowed and entertained the masses for decades as we celebrate, the 40th anniversary?
Yeah.
Last year, technically, but we still kind of recognize it this year as it continues to grow in its momentum. The film is just a gem in the echelon of comedic movies, and even to a sense like smart comedic movies. There's not a lot you can do with board games, especially when it comes to adapting them into film. The only reason why the Jumanji franchise has lasted this long is because of two words, The Rock. That's quite it. The only reason why there's still money going into that movie is I'm pretty sure he's spending it out of his own pocket. But the true winner of that franchise, Robin Williams, made history with that first film.
Mm-hmm.
They tried to like kind of double down on it with the Zathura one. But technically, I mean, if you think about it, the Zathura and the Jumanji adaptations are based on books. They're not based on board games. Board games came after the fact.
Right.
There's not really a lot of board game adaptations that really kind of seal it for anybody. I mean, for God's sakes, we had that ridiculous Battleship movie not too long ago.
I keep forgetting that exists.
It had Rihanna in it as a military personnel. That's all you need to know. To be quite honest, like I don't really think there's potential there unless you have that trifecta of, you know, great direction, great performers, and great scripts. Mm-hmm. And I think this movie had all three. The direction that was taken for this movie was absolutely superb. It was simplistic in its execution. It was absolute flawless in how it just was presented. And the performances were by far some of the best we've seen of those actors in probably their entire career. Not to say that that's their peak or anything, but to say that they were at top peak performance during this film. So I'm going to give it a 5 out of 5. Like, I definitely love the movie and I had a great time with it. So what about you, Ames?
There are so many things to quote in here, and I realized that...
That she forgot she had to give a review for the movie?
Yeah, this movie definitely passes, but I was also thinking about that second ending when it's Mrs. Peacock, and Wadsworth says, we're like the Mounties, we always get our man, and somebody goes, Mrs. Peacock's a man? This movie is a gem. It did not make all the money back in the box office. It's considered a box office flop, hilariously enough. No. Mm-hmm. But it is...
As are most cult classics.
It is a cult classic.
You look at most other cult classics, they don't do well in the box office. Did you say if it passes or fails?
Because I did. Think I, heard that. I said it passes.
Did you hear that?
I did.
Yeah, okay. Look, someone's listening. But really, when it comes down to it, this is one of those movies that you could throw on and it'll go over some people's heads. It'll go under some people's heads. It hits what all the mark. I mean, if they're losing their head, there's also places for things to go.
That point, you should probably call a doctor.
Yeah, but not Professor Plum.
Down their neck hole? What do you mean?
This is Amy we're talking about. Nothing really makes sense.
We saw the back rooms and then Clue. So my brain is all over the place. Really, when it comes down to this, there's a reason that this is considered a cult classic, because I don't think that we're going to have an opportunity in our generation to have such prolific performers all together in an ensemble cast that kicks so much butt and is so hilarious and is so easily watchable regardless of when it is. It doesn't feel like it's 40 years old. Let's start with that.
I mean, there's always Rat Race. Am I wrong? And I'm looking at you,
Mad,
Ames.
Mad, mad world.
You said in this generation. I'm just talking about, like, you said there really hasn't been. And I'm like, there kind of has.
Where,
like,
everybody has in the ensemble has equal opportunity to shine. And they're all together constantly.
Did you not see Red Race?
I don't need to see Cuba Gooding Jr. in that bathroom again without the clothes.
Just saying.
I'm prairie dogging. Yeah, I've seen it. Okay. Mm-hmm, sorry. Mm-hmm, that was not appropriate. But really, when it comes down to Clue, this is something that feels timeless. It is so easy to rewatch. It's so easy to quote. This is easily a 5 out of 5 for me. And please don't go find Clue to the
that's,
board.
That's not what it's called.
Yeah, don't.
It's just Clue.
And make sure you're not doing the 2014. Apparently, there was a 2014 iteration as well. Teenagers, don't do that one either, apparently. I just Googled that one. That was bad.
It's literally called the Clue VCR mystery game. How do you not see that and think they did not say that on the box?
No, actually, no.
How do you know? Were you there?
No, I told you at the beginning of the episode that I had that game.
I didn't know you actually had that game per se. I thought you just had Clue.
No, I had the VCR video one.
And the VHS tape doesn't say anything about...
No, the VHS tape, if you take it out of the main box, it's just a red thing that says Clue on it. Like, over and over again, like the cards.
Yeah.
It doesn't...
Spencer.
But it should also stick out as a weird, because back then, most of the VHS had, like, box art and, like, back that explained what the movie
what it
is.
Was.
It says Clue it VCR mystery game on the cassette.
No, I meant, like, on the actual cover sleeve.
I'm talking about when she opened it, took it home, and popped it in.
I just popped it in.
Again, Spencer, you're...
Thank you for trying to fight with me, Spencer.
I'm sorry. And you probably won't hear this often. Amy's actually correct. There is a Clue to Murder in Disguise VHS game.
Wait, that's the one you saw?
All it said was Clue 2. Hey, guess what, guys?
Proved you wrong, Spencer.
Shut the hell up.
Anyway, this is a 5 out of 5 monocles for me. Please take the opportunity to celebrate these performers and maybe enjoy a little murder mystery of your own.
And the tape actually doesn't say it's a game. It says Clue 2, I guess it's the subname Murders in Disguise, and it just says VHS.
I told you! Oh. I wasn't wrong!
I was thinking of the other one.
No! Spencer!
You know it's on YouTube. We can watch it.
Oh, Lord.
59 minutes. You got through 59 minutes.
I didn't. I didn't. They asked.
So who do you think the burden is?
Yeah. Also, it's super campy, so you would actually have... That might be an intern's file.
We're not watching Clue 2.
Oh, there it is.
Spencer, you want to give this thing a vote? Your monocles before...
Yeah,
Eddie Spencer takes over for you.
This movie passes for me. It's a real delight. It's just like it is the trifecta of having like great direction, a great cast, and a good script. Like when you bring that all together, it really just works very well. I'm not super surprised it didn't do well at the box office. I kind of saw that there was like online complaining about like having to go see the movie multiple times to get all three endings. And that would actually be kind of annoying, but it's also kind of cool.
I mean, they do that already with certain movies nowadays.
Like what? What has a completely different ending when you see it at a different time?
There was a movie that was within the 2000s. Hold on.
Was it like a Choose Your Own Adventure?
How are you going to have a Choose Your Own Adventure movie?
I mean, Clue 2 is giving you options.
That requires you to be able to fast forward and rewind. You're not going to be able to do that in a theater.
Oh, in a theater setting. Okay,
yeah, that's
right. I got you. That's my bad.
Just have a bunch of people in the theater shouting, 4! Well, let's choose option 4.
Where is the one where they do the thing and they say the thing that's real funny and like, which they're all really funny. But I'm not shouting.
So I'm going to give this a 5 out of 5 because it's a must-see movie and it's a cult classic. And Eddie, I also need you to do the outro because nothing's written down here. And I don't know what to say.
I mean, you should be able to do it. Come on.
You should be able to do it. Mine was written and you couldn't do it.
Yeah, because I was still drinking and you just threw it in my face like, here, do this now.
Who's drinking on the air now, guys?
All right, well, this has been another fantastic episode of the Film Philosophers. What are you doing? I'm doing whatever I want.
Okay, hold on. All right, this has been... This has been a great episode. As you can see, Spencer's doing his best to figure out and navigate.
It's not written down.
It does, because it's usually just...
You can tune into your heart's desire on any one of those three platforms.
If you want to hear more of our episodes, you can check us out over wherever podcasts are streaming, whether it's iTunes, Libsyn.
See, you said it too, like I did. Like wherever FM, you can find
Audio,
them.
Audio Boom, Spotify, Pandora, TuneIn, or iHeart.
I feel like our
and Amazon Music.
Yeah, there you go.
Tune into your heart's desire there. Look for us there. Listen in. Tell us what you think. Did you see Clue? Did you not see Clue? Did you think Spencer did a good job? Tell us all three of those in the dial section down below. We'd love to read that. Also, you can check us out over at our website at filmlostperspodcast.com. There we got allegedly over 300 episodes, everything from action, anime, comedy, suspense, thrills, and chills. If you're looking for it, we got it. Head on over to our website at filmlostperspodcast.com. You can also check us out wherever we are on the socials, whether facebook.com/filmlostpers or our Twitter, Instagram, and Threads at filmlostopy101. There we also post all of our extra hijinks, such as Spencer's Big Score, which will come back sometime soon, and Amy's Jane on Scene, which can be found where?
The only place it's ever lived, which is at Jane on Scene on Instagram and Instagram only. And if you're going, Amy, streaming is for lovers. And what is this about Clue 2? And we have new interns files? We do. We have all of those things, but it's mostly on Instagram and Instagram only.
We don't have Clue 2.
Oh, what?
We are not having Clue 2.
It sounds like we are, guys.
And as Amy mentioned earlier, you can also check us out wherever podcasts are streaming. iTunes, Libsyn, Player FM, Audio Boom, Spotify, Pandora, TuneIn, iHeart, and Amazon Music. You can tune into your heart's desire on any one of those platforms. Look for us there at the Film Philosophers. Again, this was a great episode led by Spencer. Spencer, great job. Hand clap for Spencer.
Yay.
Yeah, just cheer for you, buddy. We got to get you more in that seat to do more
leading.
You need
to write down what the hell you're saying.
You know what? You could just memorize it. Just say.
I'm not going to memorize all that. I would remember to say, oh, we're on the podcast apps and we are also on social media.
And the podcast app has transcripts.
That is true. So this was a fun episode. Hopefully we'll kind of tighten up the bolts next time. So from all of us here at the episode, we want to wish at the Philosophers, we want to wish Spencer a happy birthday.
Happy birthday, Spencer.
And from all of us here, I'm Eddie.
Oh, I'm Eddie. I'm Manny. Intern man.
No, it's messed up now. It's all over. I'm Spence up here.
Oh, I'm managing intern.
Class dismissed.
Yay!
Class dismissed.
Oh, frankly, Scarlett, I don't give a damn.